blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 298, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My steadfast heart, O God, will sound thy praise abroad with tuneful string. The dawn shall hear my song, and thy praise I will prolong, and where thy people throng, thanksgiving bring. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 298.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 45. Psalm 45. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 45, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, and for the sons of Korah Mashkel, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Kings' daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. And the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. And the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. And they shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations, And therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art clothed with might, thou who art clothed with majesty and with honor and with strength, and thou who didst send forth thy own Son and did endue him with the power of salvation, and that thou may bring in the king's daughters, and that he may make them all glorious within. O thou who hast from that never begun eternity made and set forth the decree that lay in thy own sovereign will and good pleasure, and thou who hast fulfilled it in the time, so that thy Son was sent forth riding prosperously, and that he may accomplish everything that was necessary for the salvation of his church. O thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, O we ask thee, and that thou may also show thy might and thy power in the sending forth of thy Holy Spirit in the days in which we live. O we must complain only about ourselves, and as the cause, the reason wherefore that thou so withdrawest thy hand and thy Holy Spirit also from us. But, Lord, that thou may not take away thy candlestick out of our midst as a congregation and as a denomination, that thy truth may be given to remain among us, but that thy Spirit may not withdraw his hand, but that thou may come again and ride prosperously once more, that instead of our fathers, may be our children, that thou may give that new birth that we cannot miss, and that thou may give that instruction in the way of righteousness, whereof if we shall miss it, and then we shall lie in our own pollution and wickedness, and then not only to be born and lie in it our whole life, but then also to die and to exist forever, where that worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, having heard of that word and having heard of that person who was sent forth for the salvation of his people, and having no desire and having sufficient in our own eyes, having our own wedding garment and not needing one that was given by the king. O Lord, how great shall our punishment be when thou so righteously will condemn us to that separation from thy favor and from thy presence, that to a great and to a never-ending eternity. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou who fillest the heavens and the earth, that thou who hast thought out a way for the salvation of those who had sunken themselves so deeply into the pit of misery and of sin, that thou would also stretch forth thy mighty arm in our days, and that thou would come and apply the work of thy dear Son, and that official work also that we are called to speak of in this day. Oh, that that work may also take hold in the midst of this, our little flock. Oh, that amongst us also may be those who may experience the majesty of that great King. And oh, that they may be given to bow under thy scepter, and that they may be given to cry out in all their wretchedness and helplessness and need,
that thou may save them, that thou may deliver, that thou may redeem. Oh, then thy name will be glorified, Lord, beginning in this time already. And it shall only be the beginning, the little beginning of an eternal song. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for the soul, for the heart of each and every one of us. Because we live and we shall live forever. Oh, our body that shall die and that shall lay in the dust for a little time. But in the end, that shall also live again. But our soul that is created, that is destined to live eternally. Oh, Lord, that thou may give that these matters may be bound upon our hearts. That in the need, the great need that truly exists in our life, that it also may be opened unto us and that our eyes may see it. That our heart may feel it and experience it and cry out under it. And that thy word may become so precious unto us. And that thy dear son may be needed also by us and by our dear children. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And there is nothing in us but death from our side. And oh, if thou plantest something of thy grace, then it is existing in such a little, in such a small, in such a weak measure. And so that we have to agree that thou sayest, O thou of little faith, O that thou may look then upon each one of thine own, and that they also in all their own wretchedness and sin, and in all the circumstances also of that spiritual life, that they may be given in this afternoon a little eye to look upon the blessed mediator that was sent into the world by the Father, and that they may be given to rest upon him, to look upon him, and to receive by a true and a living faith everything that is necessary for their salvation. Lord, wilt thou so look upon us? We are in thy house. Oh, it is thy own word that thou givest unto us and to our children. And Lord, we have not run of our own accord. We have not desired to our own shame this labor. But thou hast helped us to this moment. Oh, that thou may go then before us again, and that thou may show, that thou may give a token, and that we stand not for our own, but that we stand here in thy presence, and as him who is sent by thee even to this people, that we may be an instrument in thy fingers to feed thy flock among us. And that we may be an instrument especially also to gather thy church and to turn many unto righteousness. Oh, give us then faithfulness to speak thy word in all its truth and in all its sharpness, but also to bring that blessed comfort unto those that are in distress and unto those that are in need. Oh, so look upon us, Lord, and not on us alone, but on all those who may gather in thy name over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, that they also may experience that thou art with them and that thou goest before them and that thy truly sent servants may feel something of thy everlasting arms underneath. Wilt thou look upon our government and all those that rule and reign over us? Oh, make them faithful. Oh, give them new hearts. Give them to love the Lord. And oh, give that thy word may find a place again, that place in those places where it used to be and where that it is has no longer a place. Wilt thou look upon all that are in distress, all that are in warfares, and all that have trouble and perplexities in this life of sin, And in this meshach of misery in this world, oh, it is our own fault. But Lord, take reasons out of thyself. May it be for thy own honor and for thy own glory to look upon this world and to bring in many that are dead in sins and in trespasses, that they may live. And that they may glorify and they may magnify the Son of God and the Triune God forever and forever. Wilt thou so look upon us in this afternoon? Remember all that we're not able to be with us in whatever places that they may be in this day. And wilt thou grant thy blessing in their places? Help us, Lord. Forgive and take away all that is sinful and all that is from men. And oh, give a word from above for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 243, the first five stanzas. In vision to his saints, God spake from out the people. One I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1-5 of Psalter 243. Whom makest thou thyself? There was, congregation, the question that was asked by the Pharisees. And that is indeed the common sin of mankind, to make something of himself, to make himself into more, into something greater, into something higher than he really is. That began already in paradise, where man would take a place that he was not given, to make of himself no longer just a creature, but that he will be a God unto himself, that he will say himself what is right and what is wrong. So we see Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they are seeking the office of Moses, of Aaron, and trying to make something of themselves. As so we see Hoshea, he desires the office of Pekah, and so he slew him and reigned in his stead. Whom makest thou thyself? The common practice of men in this life. But to whom is it that these words were spoken? These words were spoken unto the Lord Jesus Christ by the Pharisees. Thus, there was a sin to make something of ourselves, that is a sin of a great part of mankind, that sin of presumption. And now this sin that is cast into the teeth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a daring boldness to speak so of that holy Jesus. What a awful foolishness to speak so of the Son of God, that divine, that holy being, to speak of the Son of the Most High God himself, and to say that that holy and righteous and high being is making something of himself, who makest thou thyself. No, the Lord Jesus Christ did not lift up himself. We want to consider that together out of Lord's Day 12, and thereof only question 31. Lord's Day 12, question 31. Why is he called a Christ? And that is anointed. Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. So far, our Lord's Day. Christ, the anointed of the Father. First, the significance of this anointing. And second, the offices concerned in this anointing. Christ, the anointed of the Father. First, the significance of this anointing. And second, the offices concerned in this anointing. Last time, congregation, we considered together the name Jesus. Do you remember, children, what the name Jesus means? That is, Savior. Because he shall save his people from their sins. Or is there any need? This we have tried to lay upon you. Last time, is there any need? In your heart, is there any place in your life for Jesus, this Savior? But the salvation of the church is not a mere private matter, as if a man would come to the assistance just of his friend in this world. No, the salvation of his church is also, and is in a special way, an official matter. It is an official matter that belongs unto God himself, and that concerns not only a single person, but that is concerning the entire church of God, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, and throughout the entire world. Thus, our fathers, they consider in the next place the other name of the Lord Jesus, not the personal name of the Lord Jesus, but they consider his official name. That is the name Christ. The official name, which also has a meaning. Has a meaning that is of much comfort for the true church of God. That is, anointed. Why is he called Christ? That is, anointed. Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Thus, anointed, that actually speaks of two things. It speaks in the first place of being appointed. Being appointed. And in the second place, of being qualified for a certain, for a specific work, for a certain, for a specific labor, appointed to that labor and given the qualifications necessary to carry out, to perform these labors. What a comfort for those who are in need of those offices to which the Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed and also qualified. Thus, in the first place, that the Lord Jesus was appointed. That means he was chosen. And that means he did not run on his own. The Lord Jesus said himself, I came not of myself, but the Father, he says, which hath sent me is true. And the word, he says, I do not speak that word of myself, but the Father, he has given me commandment. And he has told me what that I should say, what that I should speak. When we are appointed, then we do not go over this world with our own commission. We do not go over this world and we do not go forward with our work in our own name. Pharisees, they understood the necessity of this, especially within the church. Because they asked the Lord Jesus, and when he came into the synagogue and when he will cast out the buyers and the sellers in that synagogue, well, then they are asking the Lord Jesus about his authority. Where did you get this authority? Who gave you this authority to do these things? Thus, the Pharisees have seen that it was necessary that a person who will go forward in the labors for the salvation of the church of God is a person that cannot go in his own name, but is a person that needs to be given a divine authority. And when we are given an authority, then we do not go with our own commission, But we go with a commission of someone else. Thus, how was that for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we can read how that he was sent by his Father. And that he has received a commission from his Father. That he came not, he said, to do his own will, but to do the will of him that sent him. At the same time, it was also his own will that he may fulfill. We heard that he may fulfill the will of his Father. To this day, the Jewish nation as a whole does not receive the divine commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish nation does not believe that the Lord Jesus was the person who was sent by the Father, that he was given the commission to do his labors here on this earth. We believe this. At least we believe it in a historical way. We believe it. Why? Because we may read in the Word of God how that the prophets, how that David, how that God's servants have through many years prophesied. And we may read how that those prophecies, they have been exactly fulfilled in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is coming a day that also many of the Jewish nation is going to come to believe that this Jesus is the Son of God and that he was divinely commissioned by his Father. And if we believe it not, the Lord Jesus says, "Ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And yet, congregation, this historical faith, this acceptance that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is that sent Messiah of the Father, that is not sufficient for the salvation of our own soul. No, though we are not among that Jewish nation, no, though we receive him as the one who was commissioned, as still this will but testify against us if we receive nothing more than this. And now this name, this official name, Christ, that is a name that is so full of meaning. That is a name that is so full of comfort. Or is this now a name that may ever comfort you? May it be a wonder also in our own life that there was one who was appointed by the Father, that there was one who was divinely commissioned for the redemption of those that have sinned everything away in their father Adam. When we have heard of the fall of man, and when we have heard something of where we lie in this morning hour on the outside of that kingdom of God, or is it then not a wonder that the Father has from eternity also appointed one, and that he may go forth for the salvation of such ones? Or was he ever revealed to our own soul as such an appointed one of the Father? Or to whom does this become a wonder? It becomes a wonder to those who experience something of their lost state and of their lost condition. It becomes a wonder to those who do not see how that it is possible that they may come into that kingdom of God. It becomes a wonder to those who have lost all their own strength, who have lost all their own righteousness.
It becomes a wonder to those who believe, who see that there is only one way for them, and that is that they have to perish forever and forever. That appointment that has to do with the official electing and sending of the Son by the Father. I have laid help, we read, upon one that is mighty. I have chosen one from among the people. I have found David my servant. With holy oil have I anointed him. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. This is the pronouncement of the very Father. And what a rest now. What a rest to one who is given to behold something of that appointment of the Father. When in his own strength, then he had to despair for his own salvation. For this work, we read that he was chosen from before the foundation of the world. That the Father has elected the Son, that he may do for him that great work of bringing back that straying church into his own communion again, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation for the sin of his church. Congregation, what does that mean? That means that the salvation of that church that does not lie in Christ alone. No, but the salvation of that church is lying in the hands of a triune God. It is the Father who has appointed the Son and who has anointed the Son with the Holy Spirit without measure, that he may do the labors required for the salvation of his church. And oh, if we may only see something in all our wretchedness of the interest of the triune God in the salvation of such as have fallen away so far from God, then we may see how that the salvation of the church, that is with no certainty, know that the salvation of the church that is lying so sure in the hands of this triune God, not only appointed by him, but also qualified by him. What does that mean, children, to be qualified? If your father did send you to do something, and he did not give you the necessary tools or the necessary clothes or whatever it was necessary to do that work, then you may have been appointed by your father, but you were not qualified to do it. You were not able to do it because you did not have the necessary things to do it with. And so that is also for the salvation of God's church. That God has not only appointed someone, but God has also qualified his Son that he may receive everything that was necessary to fulfill that divine commission. Thus he has given gifts and he has given abilities unto the Son of God, that he may be able to do his work. What did he need? He needed a body. He did not have a body. No, when he was in eternity, then Christ, then the Son of God,
the second person of the divine Trinity. He was just as that first person of that divine Trinity. God is a spirit, and he had no body. And therefore, as such, he was not able to perform the labor of the redemption of his church. But we read that the Father has given unto the Son a body that was necessary that he may suffer. He has anointed him. We read, children, Saul was anointed. We read, David was anointed. Who anointed them? Samuel, the prophet of the Lord. With what were they anointed? They were anointed with oil. That had a symbolic meaning. But though it was just symbolic to men, the Lord, in that anointing, we read that he gave even Saul, King Saul, who was a wicked man in his heart, but the Lord gave him not a new, but another heart. That was upon the anointing of the Lord, the prophet of the Lord, with oil, that he may be enabled to perform his commission. Now, so we read also of the Son of God, that he may be enabled to perform his commission of the redemption of his people, that great work. Then God the Father has anointed him with what? Not with oil. No, he has anointed him with the Holy Spirit. That is for us incomprehensible. But the children of the Lord, they may receive a little measure by times in this world of the Holy Spirit. And we read that the Son of God, he is given the Holy Spirit without measure. Thus, the Father anointing the Son with the Spirit, the Trinity, involved intimately in the salvation of the true church of God. Qualified him. What does that mean? That means that the Father, he has upheld him every moment as his body and as his human will had to be subject unto the results, the consequences of the sin of his church. An impossibility from the human side that the Father, he has from moment to moment upheld his Son, that he may be able to bring that work to its completion. The Son of God, appointed, anointed, qualified for the redemption of his church. Is there a people that have no qualifications? Is there a people who have lost their qualifications? Is there a people for whom there is no hope because that they lack everything from their own sight? Then the Father has given one who has received everything on behalf of this people. Oh, do you understand to whom that this Son of God in his official labors is becoming precious by the opening of these mysteries in their life? Do you see that it is not unto the righteous, but it is to the unrighteous? That it is not unto the godly, but it is unto the ungodly? That he who is anointed, he who was sent by the Father, he who was qualified by the Father,
is becoming to them altogether lovely, white and ruddy, precious, far above everything in this world. What are those offices? What are those offices to which the Father has anointed and qualified His Son to carry out? What is that work and that He was anointed for, appointed unto? We see that in our second place. Three offices. We do not read of a man in the whole world and that has had three offices at the same time. We read of one who was a priest and who was a king. You know who that was, children? We spoke about him a little while ago. It was Melchizedek. He had two offices. And we said he was a type. He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he lacked one office, that was the office of the prophet. What do we see then in the Son of God? In him, then we see is everything. Everything that is necessary for the salvation of the church, that is to be found in this one man. That is to be found in the Son of God. What does Paul say? Who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why? Paul says that he that glorieth may glory in the Lord. Congregation, the Lord has laid help upon one that is mighty, that he may save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, one that is mighty, one that is sent of the Father, one who is qualified by the Father, one that the church may find everything in him necessary to their own salvation. Do we need him? Our instructors say, ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Prophet. Teacher. Do we need a teacher? By nature, we do not. By nature, we have enough of our own wisdom. And we do not want to receive instruction from anyone. Oh, so it is also in the beginning even of that new life. Because that people so often think that they know how that it has to go in their life. And there is an expectation in the life of the people. And what will the Lord do? He will make this chief prophet, this chief teacher, he will make him so necessary. He will make him so precious in the eyes of every one of his people. How does he do it? By instructing his people in their ignorance. Step by step, then our wisdom and our knowledge that has to be taken away from us so that a person does not know anymore what the way is. So that there is a church that is going over the world that does not understand how that the Lord is leading, that does not know what is now the next step that they must take in that spiritual life, that thought that they were going forward,
but have to experience that they are going backwards. And so a people that have to lose all of their own wisdom in order that they may be given to need, to desire the wisdom of that great prophet. O congregation, did the Lord ever bring you to the end of all your own wisdom, that you also may say, Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me. Lord, open to me thy holy word, because I do not know anymore. Oh, did this chief prophet ever find a place in your heart? That does not preclude other prophets. That does not preclude other teachers, because the Lord has also sent other teachers, servants. The Lord has also instituted a ministry. They go in His name. They go with His word. They go with His blessing. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gives them a commission, tells them what to say, tells them how to speak, what they have to do. What is that? They must preach the gospel to the poor. They must bind up the brokenhearted. And they must set at liberty the captives and open the prisons for them that are bound. A commission. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God, the will of the Father. And it is under that commission that that chief prophet today, children, he is not here today. No, he is not here in his body, that is. Oh, may he be here in his spirit, because what are we? Oh, we are nothing. But if he may speak one word, and he who has given commission, or when he may speak, then we do not need the fancy sayings and preachings of men. No, then all we need is one word from him. And so he is sanctifying and blessing the preaching of his servants over the length, over the breadth of this world. So he is bringing his own word with power by the Holy Spirit into the heart of a sinner, Lydia. So their heart is open, that she may attend unto the things that are spoken by Paul. And for this office, he is appointed. For this work, he has been qualified. He can teach you as we cannot teach you, because he can speak as no other man can speak. Oh, do you ever storm that throne of grace for the blessing, for the word of that chief prophet and teacher? Oh, that that word may also be sanctified, that it may be blessed, and that it may come forth as an arrow also into your heart. Oh, he is able to break the hardest heart, and he is able to comfort the broken heart. Chief prophet and teacher. But our fathers speak also of the work of the high priest, anointed to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That is why the office now of the high priest is so indispensable for that church of God. What is the work of the high priest? Our children know. The high priest, that is simple. He had to sacrifice. Oh, do we ever think about that, children? They had to sacrifice. And do you ever think about what that means, to sacrifice? And that lamb, and that bullock, all that ram, all that is laid upon that altar. How? As a substitute. Do you ever think about that? He is laid upon that altar, dead. The fire is burning under him to consume him. What does that mean for that man who has brought that sacrifice unto the priest? And he gives that sacrifice to him. And that is slain and laid upon that altar and burnt upon that altar. What may then that man see in this? Or then he sees how that lamb that lays in his place. Or he sees the necessary satisfaction of the justice of God because of his sin. That requires death. That requires consummation. And the fire of the wrath of God. And so that sacrifice to one who has sinned against God. That sacrifice that became so precious. But now that blood of that lamb was not able to satisfy for his sin. And therefore, that Lamb of God, he has laid himself upon that altar that he may be consumed by the wrath of God and that he may be there in the place of his people. Congregation. Or do we ever meditate upon these things? That is a simple thing, is it not? And we all know it from our youth. But is there ever a need for a sacrifice in our own life? Or we can speak about this prophet, and we can speak about this high priest and his high priestly work. But when there is no need, then it will be but a mind's knowledge. And we will go out from this place worse than we have come in. Because we will have rejected that which is presented unto us by the will of the triune God, the high priest, the work. He was appointed by God, the Father. He was qualified to do this work as high priest. And what is that other work as high priest? That he may intercede. And our fathers say, according to the word of God, a continual intercession. Do you know what that means? That the work of this high priest, that is not finished. But the work of this high priest, that is continuing. Is that ever a comfort to you? Or does that mean nothing? That the intercession of the Son of God continues. Means nothing if we do not need his intercession, then it means nothing. And as long as we continue not to need his intercession, it will mean nothing. But there is a people congregation with sin. It is past sin, yes. And therefore, the necessity of this intercession. But it is not only past sin. It is also present sin. It is also present corruption. Is it so in your life? Present corruption. So that there is a necessity of a continual intercession without which it is impossible for me to be received of at the hands of a holy and a righteous God. Oh, what a wonder for this people that he is not made a priest after a Levitical priesthood, but that he is made a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that this priest may continue ever. This is now the only comfort of Paul, who must say that he has a law, and that law is in his members. And he is not able to rid his members from that law. It is the law of sin. And so there is no end to it. And there is only one answer, one thing that is able to be over against that continual sin, that continual fountain of corruption in the life of the church, that is that continual, ever-abiding high priest. Oh, may this prophet, may this priest find a place also in our heart. Let us sing Psalter 444. 1, 3, and 5. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, with all thy power. Exalt in the God who is thy strength and tower. Let all within me bless his holy name. Bless him who heareth all thy supplication. Forget not thou his kindly ministration, but all his gracious benefits proclaim. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 444. also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us, an eternal King. And what does a king do? The king governs. The congregation, by nature, we do not want to be governed. We don't want to do whatever we please. Is it not so, young people? Do not like the government of father and mother? You like to break out of that yoke? The Lord, he works something in the heart of his church that the natural man does not understand. And what is that? That is the need and the desire to be governed. Not that that is so pleasant for their old man. Not that that is pleasant for their flesh. But it is the desire of that new man. We read that in the life of David. He says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Lord, wilt thou watch over me? Wilt thou give me to do right? Wilt thou give me to speak right? And wilt thou give me to think right? Wilt thou be my king? And wilt thou govern my whole life? Oh, how good and how gentle is the Lord with his people. Oh, to make their heart just melt. And so that they are so willing to place themselves in his hand. And that they see with new eyes how that this wretched man, he can do nothing but go in the wrong way. And then, oh, to look for, to need and to desire that a king would reign over this wretched heart until this body of sin is done away, and there shall be no more inclination, that there shall be no more desire to walk in the ways of sin anymore. All that is a preservation. That is a preservation that lies now upon this king. That is his work. That is what he has been appointed to do. That is what he has been qualified to do by his own father. And there is no might in that people against all that company that cometh against them. No, it is a church. And they are a little flock. And they are a church that are of little strength. And that enemy that is so mighty. And because they fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so that soul that is calling upon the Lord, O Lord, the waters, and they are coming in upon my soul, and that I am standing, I am sinking in that deep mire. Oh, the floods, they come and they overflow me. Oh, Lord, how long? How long shall that adversary approach? And they fear that they will be forever overcome by that enemy of sin. And so the blessedness of that church that may see such a preciousness, and also to be our Father, say, our eternal King. And that includes something else. Or that includes a desire to walk after the law of that King. that is a desire not to walk in transgression of that law. Oh, that law, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That is the entire word. But then that law of God that is so included in it, then they have a desire to be pleasing in their walk, in their talk, and in their own heart, in their very thought and meditation, unto their own King. O congregation, the official work now of that Son of God. Oh, do we have any need? Is there any place for this work in our heart? He is called Christ. He is called anointed. But do we need him? Do we need him in his offices? Do we need him as an official appointed one? Or is the name Jesus, Savior? Is the name Christ, anointed? Is this only for us a matter of a few letters? Is this only for us a matter of a doctrine out of that Word of God? What an awful thing to reject the Son of God in the labors that he has been sent forth to do. That is a denial in the face of a triune God. It is the Father who has anointed Christ for this work. And thus it is an insult, and there is a mockery unto the Father who has anointed him to be prophet, to teach, to the Father who has anointed him to be high priest, to the Father who has anointed him to be king. And in that anointing does testify of our need for these labors. The need of fallen man for a prophet, for a priest, for a king. And in our rebellion, and in our pride, we say we have no desire that he should reign over us. And we say we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways when we do not feel in our heart a place, a need for this Son of God. It is a wonder that the Lord bears so long with us. But that is not going to be forever. God is not going to be mocked if we refuse to acknowledge our deep fall. If we refuse to acknowledge our need for his anointed Son. Oh, how justly is he going to reject us? We may laugh at his mercy, which is proffered unto us today. We may laugh, but he is going to laugh at our calamity tomorrow. We may mock today. when he proffers peace and pardon, he is going to mock tomorrow when our fear comes. What a serious matter that we have no need for Jesus. What a serious matter that we have no need for Christ. That is not only an insult unto the triune God, but congregation, then we miss everything which is for the true comfort of our soul. Oh, if salvation, the salvation of our soul, if that is not going to come from Him, then it's going to have to come from ourselves. Are we able? Are we able to save ourselves in the day of that wrath of God? But oh, if the welfare of our soul may be lying in the interest of a triune God. Oh, what a comfort. What a rest for that people. The labors of the Son of God in his three offices, his labors as prophet, his labors as priest, and his labors as king, when they are on our behalf, oh, then the people see that all their labors are finished. It is all done. Then there is rest. What is today, children? It is Sunday. It is to be a day of rest. Oh, that we may receive this rest. This rest. Because then we experience just a little bit of an eternal rest, wherein that people will glorify this prophet, priest, and king who has labored and who has finished everything on their own behalf. And then they will rest day and night. Oh, then they will rest from all their own work. And they will only sing. And they will magnify him ever and forever. O congregation, will you not think on these things? We can but bring it to your ears. We feel so short. We feel so weak. We can give you nothing. Oh, may him, he who was anointed, he who was ordained, he who was appointed, he who was qualified by the Father, grant you what we cannot give to the salvation of your soul and for the honor of his name. Amen. O Lord, it is all from our side so short. Thou can use the foolishness of preaching. Oh, one word. One word, Lord, to enter into our hearts. Oh, could it please thee to send it home with us, and that we could not let thee go except thou bless us. Be with us further in this day. Give us to keep thy day holy. And wilt thou forgive all that is sinful? Bless that which we also may read in a personal way in this evening, or other services that we may attend. Strengthen all that labor in thy kingdom. Help us in the week to come, each in our circumstances. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 439 stanzas 1 and 2. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart. And though paths of saints are fraught with evil, thou showest favor to thy people. While faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. When in my grief I nurtured doubt, I well nigh slipped from ways devout. 1 and 2 of 439. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.